This is A Pirate's Life for Me. Each week, we'll highlight East Carolina alumni achievements from around the Pirate Nation. And now, from the studios of Pirate Radio 1250 in Uptown Greenville, here are your hosts, Paul Clifford and Denise Walsh.
Good morning, Pirate Nation, and welcome to A Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford.
And I'm Denise Walsh. We're your co-hosts on A Pirate's Life for Me, brought to you by East Carolina Alumni Association, with special thanks to our sponsors, Liberty Mutual, Collegiate Funding Services, and Pirate Radio.
For the true pirate fans out there, tune in weekly to hear ECU news and interviews with your classmates and fellow pirates across the Pirate Nation. We will find out how alumni are impacting their communities and the lives of others through their professions and activities. Denise, as you know, we're gearing up for the students to come back to campus. There's a lot of preparation to get the students into their residence halls and classes to start. And, you know, as the fall semester begins, it begins all the activities on campus. You know, the Rudy Alexander Performing Arts Series comes to campus when they open with their first event, Dallas Brass. Also, the Family Fair Series. These are outside productions that the university brings in, because the university is, not only are we the educational leader and the athletic leader in Eastern North Carolina, but we're also the cultural and performance leader, and that it's an important role that we play here in the community and the region. And so if folks want information on how they can participate in the Rudy Alexander Performing Arts Series and how they can see some of those shows, what should they do?
Well, they can call 800-ECU-ARTS, or they can go online, and the address is ecu.edu/ECU Arts. I'm sorry, I always get confused between the back or the forward slash. It's one of the slashes. Give it a try. ecu.edu/ECU Arts. And again, they can call 800-ECU-ARTS.
Absolutely. It's world-class talent right here in Greenville. You don't have to go to Broadway. We bring it to you.
That's right. I also saw in the news that there were 11 physicians from the Brody School of Medicine at ECU that have been chosen by their peers for inclusion in the 2005 Best Doctors listing. This listing came out in the July issue of Business North Carolina, and they say that 4% of the 20,000 physicians who practice in North Carolina are actually on that 2005 list. So just another testament to the great doctors, physicians, and nurses that ECU puts out into the community. So we're really proud of them.
Unbelievable. We're the cultural leader. We're the medical leader in Eastern North Carolina. And let's hope Pirate football can make us an athletic leader again.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, for today, thanks for listening. We are proud to bring you the second show of A Pirate's Life for Me. If you missed last week, be sure to visit piratealumni.com, where you can click on the archives section, and you can actually listen to our interview with Troy D and LRB. So be sure to check in on that. And, you know, Paul, do you like sushi? I'm sorry. I have a little trouble here this morning.
You know, Denise, that's a funny question. I assume that you're asking if I like sushi because of today's guest, Christian Kiber, who's appearing in Wasabi Tuna.
Oh, you are so clever. That is indeed why I was asking that. I actually really do like sushi, but yes, Wasabi Tuna. It's a new movie coming out, and we're talking with Christian about that today, so looking forward to that.
That's great. We look forward to passing his story on to the Pirate Nation, but before we do that, let's take a quick break for some commercials.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Paul Clifford, Associate Vice Chancellor for Alumni Relations at East Carolina, letting all pirates know about one of the greatest benefits of being a member of the Pirate Nation. Do you want to lower and simplify your monthly student loan payments? Contact the ECU Alumni Loan Consolidation Program toll-free at 866-924-4491 or online at ecualum-studentloans.com. Lock in fixed rates, possibly lower your monthly payment, and choose from a variety of flexible repayment plans. Sign your application online with e-signature or speak to a loan counselor who will guide you through the consolidation steps. Worried about your student loan debt? Call a dedicated ECU loan counselor toll-free at 866-924-4491 or visit online at www.ecualum-studentloans.com to consolidate your student loan debt. Go Pirates!
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
We're excited to welcome actor, producer, and co-founder of Los Angeles-based independent film production company, Creative Alley Productions, Christian Kiber, East Carolina Class of 92. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Paul.
Yeah, Christian, you grew up in New York, in the New York City area, and you begun your acting career in both theater and television. You then came to East Carolina on a theater scholarship. Tell us how you became a pirate and why you decided to attend East Carolina.
Well, the interesting thing about it is I was actually born in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay.
But moved to New York when I was about 9, so I'm kind of like a southern gentleman with a New York attitude. But that way. But my parents went to East Carolina University. That's where they met, Robert and Sherry. And they, so I was always wearing a sweatshirt. So in New York City, and when I'm running around as a young, young kid, doing theater and stuff and commercials where I started, I always had these East Carolina sweatshirts. My parents had stickers. We had everything.
Wow, that's great.
So I was always, in a way, going to be a pirate. There wasn't a question of it. I looked at other schools, Chapel Hill and Rutgers. But when I finally got to East Carolina, it truly was my first pick, and Edgar Lossine, who was the chairman at the time, kind of recruited me in there and brought me down. And during, I think it was an orientation, there was Sharon Stone was down there doing summer theater.
Huh, that's great.
Yeah, so here I was as a kid seeing Sharon Stone walk by, and Edgar Lossine saying, "This is it. You know, this is where you need to be." And I thought, yeah, this is it. I mean, the theater department alone really accepted me and brought me in and really challenged me. It's an amazing department down there. I mean, the Meister program with Don Dean alone and with his teachings and stuff, which I'm a big fan of, and got in there immediately and worked with him many times over the years. And with Edgar's at the time when he was there, he had a great showmanship about it. So the first, there was no question. He didn't know it, but I knew it right away. When I said, "This is the place for me," and he's like, "You sure?" I said, "This is it."
That's great.
Well, while you were at East Carolina, you received the Best Actor Award, and you had just, as you just mentioned, you studied the Meisner Technique with Professor Donald Bean. And can you tell us and our audience a little bit about what the Meisner Technique is and maybe share with us more on that experience here at East Carolina?
Sure. It's a 4-year program. The Meisner Technique was the star of Stanford Meisner from the group theater. So it's along the lines of like Uta Hagen, you know, one of the greats started it back in New York. And a lot of people study Jeff Goldblum, Robert Duvall have studied the different techniques. So Don has pushed it and taken those teachings of Sandy Meisner and pushed them into 2 years. So it's really intensive. 4 years was intense. 2 years was very intense. And I can tell you that. I mean, that was a good time crying. You're up, down, everywhere. But what it is a technique that teaches you to work moment to moment and be in the moment as an actor. So instead of feeling like you're in your head, as they say, you're really there. You forget what's going on around you, and it's actually recreating life, as I say, on stage or on film. So the acting part, we always say it's not acting, it's truth telling, as Don used to say all the time. And it gives you the tools and such to be prepared before they say action. So you come with all your quote-unquote homework done, and really, when you're on set, you can relax and know you've got this technique, this strength behind you, or knowledge, as they say, to get to the moments or get to the results you want as an actress and an actor. And that's it's something I really believe in. And the way Don had taught it down there, I mean, it was New York style teaching. I mean, it truly was. And he that room, the door looked locked and it closed, and the lights were on you. Everyone was quiet at the time. No one talked. You were scared at times. Which was what was going to happen because it was such an emotional class. You know, it was exhausting. It was like going to the gym every day.
Christian, you mentioned you're from New York, and we know that you became one of the youngest members of of an elite actors club in New York called The Players. For those folks who are listening who aren't familiar with The Players, the memberships includes such actors and actresses as Kevin Spacey, James Earl Jones, Katherine Hepburn. Can you tell us what being a member of The Players, what it means and how being around some of those folks has influenced you and just being in it at such a young age, what that means?
To me, it's the biggest achievement. It's bigger to me than an Oscar winner or anything like that. It was being accepted by my heroes into an elite group. And The Players were started in 1888 by a famous actor, actually our first kind of star actor, Edwin Booth, who actually was John Wilkes Booth's brother.
Wow.
Right. Well, at the time, actors weren't allowed in clubs. Actors or performers were banned. They were seen as kind of the rogue outsiders. And he started a club in Gramercy Park that said, come, you know, please come in actors. Once he got some fame, it was actually a house he bought for himself and then opened it up and lived on the third floor. So he would allow all these actors to come in. I mean, members have also included James Cagney. When I went down there, the first day I was down there, there was Tom Kyle O'Connor, Jack Lemmon, and Tony Bennett all sitting around laughing and joking. And here I am at 22 right out of college. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And we're talking about acting. And there's no paparazzi, so there's no cameras. You're not allowed to talk business. It's this great social club. I mean, Helen Hayes was the first female to be accepted into it. Katherine Hepburn was a member. And it also allows you to, the sister clubs around, like in England, the Garrick Club, and places in Chicago, but they all want to be part of The Players. So it was being around your heroes. There's a letter from Laurence Olivier saying, my player is always my players. I mean, it is a gorgeous brownstone that when you walk in there, your legends are there in spirit or in the flesh. But you're allowed to, these actors and stuff are allowed to let down their guard, which, you know, a lot of times out in the public eye with the paparazzi, especially lately, you aren't allowed to do that. So in the clubs, they're right behind you. So this place allowed people to, and actors to set free and to kind of talk about the craft itself and enjoy each other. And the very, I mean, they're singing. It gets crazy there, you would say. I mean, it's a little, I mean, Frank Sinatra was in them. But the interesting thing about The Players is the reason I got in, it ties back to East Carolina. My first year, Edgar Lacine, my freshman year, cast me in Summerstock, which with Larry Gates, Kathleen Nolan, and Foxfire. And also, I think Karen Valentine and I worked the other two down there. But Larry Gates and I, after working together in Foxfire, I contacted him after graduating, and he said, meet me at The Players. And I thought The Players, you know, it couldn't be The Players. I didn't know whether to wear jeans or something like The Players. I'm sure I put a suit on and, you know, have an instinct. I better put a suit on. I better put a tie on. So I went down there, and that's actually who, as I said to him, as he's showing me this gorgeous mansion, and I said, this is the place for me. He goes, do you feel at home? I said, this is it. He's like, good, because I want to put you up for membership.
Mm.
And I couldn't, I mean, I said, now? You're 45 years. He's like, yes, right, we're going now. He said, and it was nice to have him say, because I believe your young blood, you've got this drive and this love for the art of acting, and I was shocked, but it all ties back in East Carolina. Had I not gone to East Carolina, I never would have had the opportunity to work in Summerstock and to meet, as I call him, my grandfather, the theater, Larry Gates, who just in a way held my hand and then let go and said, here you go. And I'm like, okay. He's like, you're in now. And as he always said, you're in here now. Now go get some work.
That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me, and we're talking with actor Christian Kyber. You spent time in New York following graduation, and then you went on to Los Angeles for a theatrical production. Can you tell us how you ended up moving to Los Angeles and what kind of changed your career path maybe a little bit?
Well, I had been in New York, I guess, at the time, 3 years, and I had done the soaps. I had done a little role on All My Children at the time. And I had done The Players, and I've been doing theater, and a lot of theater, because that's really where you get your strength, I believe. It truly is, when they say the theater is for the actor, it truly is. But there was, after a while, you start wanting to venture out. So I actually literally got on a, you know, saved my money, got on a plane, and landed in Los Angeles. I'd never been to L.A. I didn't know you needed a car. I found out quickly you did, because, you know, in New York, you just don't drive. It's all, you know, public transportation. So I landed in L.A. I didn't know with the people I was even moving in with. I responded to an ad. And then I started doing what I knew best, which was knocking on doors. Well, in New York, you can walk up to those doors. And here, they've got big studios with security everywhere. So I would sneak on the lots on Warner Brothers or anywhere and draw my pictures off. I would talk to everybody. I would, the first 3 months here, I found out they were shooting a film that an actor who we know now as Russell Crowe was starring in. And I said, well, where are they shooting it? Where are they casting it? And a fellow actor walked out. I said, drive the street. I said, oh, I got to go. So I took off down the street, had my headshots, walked in, and said, I heard you casting a movie. They said, yeah. I said, well, I'm in it, right? What do you got for me? And they kind of look at you a little strange. I think they probably called security. So I kind of, but I remember dropping my picture off before they grabbed me, and I got a call. And they said, well, come on in. I said, oh, well, all right, yeah. So I went in, I auditioned, and then I got a call back. And, of course, I went around, and all my friends were like, get out of here. I'm like, yeah. So the interesting part was that I actually did a big, put you on camera, and suddenly I get a phone call actually 3 months later. So they made me, 3 months, you think I didn't get it. 3 months later, after the first initial audition, they called up and said, listen, you're in. You'll play your co-starring opposite Russell Crowe.
That's amazing. Now that's not the way it always happens, though, in Hollywood. It's rare to get a co-starring role out of an open casting call.
Absolutely, it's unheard of. But I also, as I always say, I don't think outside the box. I just don't think there is a box. So taking that in mind, I'm like, well, if everything when it said don't call, it says please don't call, I was the first guy to call.
that's a true pirate spirit.
Very true. I learned it. Very true. You learn it in East Carolina because there's a lot of the pirate thing about that. The thing I love about ECU is that there is a freedom. There is a independent feeling there. You're a part of this group, this East Carolina University group, but there is a free spirit to it, and you believe you can, and the professors there are amazing that give you that. I mean, I really had the teachers to say, Christian, you can do it. So go do it. You're the next Brander. You're the next this. You're the next that. So leaving college, I'm thinking that's it. You did really have a great support group. And that's why I've always stayed tied to you. I love it. I am one of your biggest promoters.
Christian, with Creative Alley Productions, we understand that you've just closed a deal with screenplays. You also write screenplays. And can you tell us when you started writing and tell us a little more about some of what it's like to write a screenplay and see it transformed to film?
I started writing probably about 5 years ago when I probably started the company. It was based on the fact that somebody said to me, you're not a writer, you're an actor. And I thought, I don't know, let me see if I can write this. And I started writing. And the world writing takes you to is somewhere else. It just starts flowing out of you. A lot of people say they have writer's block. I could sit there for hours and write. But the amazing thing is that you don't quite know where the story's going because you're creating in your head, but yet you have a direction. So there are times, my first screenplay, I sat up all night. I'd get up in the middle of the night and start writing again because you can't stop the idea flow. So the excitement was you're writing dialogue yet that you're going to say later on in the movie. So you're creating this huge world, and you can see other people. The funny thing about writing is you can see the other characters develop, and you see them talking. And some people would say that's crazy, those are voices in your head, but us artists might have that little weirdness. But it is. That's the amazing part. You hear them talking to each other, and then you put it on paper. And that's a wild experience. And I would tell anybody, any actor, to write. It's an outlet you can't get anywhere else. And so we started writing screenplays, and with a business partner of mine, Bryce Campbell, who we started a company with, Creative Alley, and we just started writing. I'm romantic comedies. I mean, it was unstoppable, thrillers. You just found these motivations, and because you write, then you have product. So if you have product, I thought, well, Tom Cruise has a production company. Christian Kyrie is a production company. So I started start a production company. So from there, people start to get on board, and it's an exciting thing to branch out in that direction. So the thrill is watching someone else say the line. They never say it the way you wrote it. So you're thinking, oh, I think it's going to be great, and then they say something, but their take on it, which makes it even more magical, which is the producing side of it, where you see someone else's view of your script, and they take it on their own way. And there's a beautiful matchup with that. And then the director who's going, no, let's do this. Why don't you try this take? Why don't you try that take? And as a writer, I'm very open to changes. A lot of writers aren't. I am more than excited to hear someone else's opinion on things.
This is a Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford with Denise Walsh, and we're talking with Christian Kyber, co-founder of Creative Alley and co-star of or star of Wasabi Tuna. You recently starred in a picture that's that was just out this summer, Wasabi Tuna. Tell us a little more about your film and your role as Becker.
The Wasabi Tuna is a comedy. It's a pretty funny comedy. Myself, Tim Meadows, Guillermo Diaz, and a bunch of, it's a pretty packed, good cast. I just happened to be in an office with a producer who saw my reel. You know, you bring actors have reels with their work on it, and said, let's make them an offer. Let's get them in. It happened that quick. And the character of Becker is a detective who is a little too intense for his own good. And is always kind of exploding in anger or fit, or trying to figure out what's going on with the other characters. The other characters is the mismatch, kind of miscommunication. It's got, I think, a lot of U-backs in it. I mean, it's packed with people. But the comedy itself, it's going to theaters. It's one of those films like Raising Arizona one, where you enjoy it for the ride. And the character Becker I play is pretty. He's pretty out there. He's got his own way of thinking, and he hopes everyone else does too, which he finds out that they don't. So by the end of the movie, my character, who starts off interrogating these people and then becomes part of the film itself, and then at the end, I wrap it up through the whole thing going, ah! But by that time, my character is exhausted and has a new point of view on everything that he thought was going on wasn't. So.
Do you know how the writers were inspired to call the show Wasabi Tuna? Was there some story behind that?
Yeah, well, it's about going to, it's Halloween, and every year they go as a wasabi tuna, some kind of food.
Yeah.
And this year they decided wasabi tuna, which they're like, how are you going to show wasabi? Well, wasabi hat is one of the lines in there. But they decide this year they aren't. They're going to go as gangsters or L.A. gangsters. So suddenly another gangster group thinks they're the new arrivals in town. So it goes after them. And there's a couple of other subplots there, too. I think even Anna Nicole Smith does a cameo in there. It's a pretty funny scene. It's pretty funny. But she like comes in and comes out. But when I say it's packed, it's got everybody. It's Barney Chang, Jason London, Tony Sabato Jr. does the part in there. It's a pretty big cast of a bunch of crazy characters. And it was a lot of fun, but that's the story of that year they go with something else. At the end, the whole concept is they should have gone to Wasabi Tuna.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. I remember I recently went to a film and saw the previews for the show, so I can't wait to see it. We're excited about that.
Thanks.
Share with us, you mentioned you work on soaps and television and movies, and working on a movie, there's those 12, 13-hour days. Talk about some of the crazy moments that happen on set, because there's bound to have been a few.
Oh, yeah. There was a moment in...
Remember, it's a family show, too.
Right. I got to tell you. I'm not going to keep out those. Those are in the trailers. This happens on set. Actually, here's a really funny story. They were doing a scene where a truck, a person lands on top of a truck. I think it was Kelly Hugh I was in the movie with. She's like jumped out of a window. She lands on top of a truck, and the explosive guy comes in and goes, look, Christian, behind you, what's going to happen is a big loud noise on the top of the this truck here. It's going to go, it's on the side of it. You're going to see the dent come down. You're going to duck because the lamp above you is going to fall. If you don't duck, it's going to hit you in the head. Behind you, there's going to be this giant explosion that goes out. So you got to make sure you're low to the ground.
Oh, yes.
I'm standing there looking at him, and I said, why don't I just light myself on fire and run around the set? I said, because this is getting dangerous. He's like, don't worry, it's all going to be fine. I can tell you, when that thing hit the top of the roof and that lamp came down and that stuff exploded, I was flat on the ground. I was the fastest person. I don't even know if they saw me on the floor. I hit that floor so fast. So in all the funniness of it, you're laughing most of the time if you were the good crew. And even the television. I do Reoccurring Charm. I played Frank on Charm, the TV show for WB. And I've done, all this Milano and I were doing scenes, and there's a fight scene with us swinging. I've been clocked right in the face. Right in the face. And I go, that's a good shot. That's a good one. So it's the good with the bad, but when you're doing what you love, as you all know, people love your jobs. There's nothing like it. So from the theater to TV to the film, and even to the writing, I mean, there's a joy in all the good times and bad times. And, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be getting better. Things are really good, so I'm happy with it all so far.
can you just give us a summary of kind of what's next for you, what you're looking ahead to?
Well, right now we've just signed a big financing deal to co-venture with a company to make probably, I think it's, we're going to make in the next couple of years, next 2 years, 5 films that I've written, like I said, with the company. And to put out, to write them, we've written them, produced them, and I'll act in them as well. So it's becoming like the next, we're trying to be, you know, we've got the next Miramax, where you kind of fit it all in. And you bring in a lot of people. A lot of my friends are still from East Carolina. So a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of good actors out here. There's a composer out here that I'm meeting with today, actually. Ray Bunch.
Yeah.
I'm actually meeting with today, who did the alumni party out here in L.A.
That's great.
So that's the next step. The next step is to create your own work, like Warren Beatty did, or Billy Bob Thornton, as you did, these guys who write, act, and produce it. So that's the exciting part about it, is now seeing the bigger picture, and of course finding the money to make it. It's probably not cheap. Yeah.
It's always a challenge.
Yeah. 10 years working for that one. I mean, that is but when it comes together, it is, it's all worth it. I mean, a career to me is when you're 65, 70, and look back and go, I did all that? That was me?
You know, Christian, you mentioned the alumni event out there that you attended, and it was amazing for me who when I went out to that event and met you, and Beth Grant was there, and Ray Bunch was there. Just the concentration of East Carolina talent in Los Angeles working, which is, as you know, difficult to do when you're an actor starting out or just trying to maintain your career, finding the work. And talk a little bit about the passion that East Carolina alumni have for ECU, and there was definitely a lot of passion on display that night at Ray's house.
Yeah, the great thing about it is not a lot of people realize, I'm sure a lot of ECU people who are now in school now, realize how many alumni there are in Los Angeles. We all think we come out to Los Angeles and stand as the actors struggling that no one else is here, we don't know anybody. But it is packed, and I mean it's packed from writers, of course, like Kevin Williamson, friends of mine, Sandra Bullock, all those people, Emily Proctor, but those are just some compared to the enormous amount of actors and writers, and you've got stage managers who are working constantly. So the excitement is there's always someone from East Carolina who'll run into.
That's awesome. And you know what, Christian, we appreciate that you're always looking to help out East Carolina alumni. The other thing we appreciate is, you know, I spent some time with you out in L.A., and then we did some research preparing for the interview on your website, and, you know, you never miss an opportunity to say I'm an East Carolina power, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Christian, and good luck to you in the future.
Oh, fantastic.
Please stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments with A Pirate's Life for Me.
This is Paul Clifford, Associate Vice Chancellor for Alumni Relations at East Carolina, letting all Pirates know about one of the greatest benefits of being a member of the Pirate Nation. Do you want to lower and simplify your monthly student loan payments? Contact the ECU Alumni Loan Consolidation Program toll-free at 866-924-4491 or online at ecualum-studentloans.com. Lock in fixed rates, possibly lower your monthly payment, and choose from a variety of flexible repayment plans. Sign your application online with e-signature or speak to a loan counselor who will guide you through the consolidation steps. Worried about your student loan debt? Call a dedicated ECU loan counselor toll-free at 866-924-4491 or visit online at www.ecualum-studentloans.com to consolidate your student loan debt. Go Pirates!
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Wallace, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me.
Welcome back into the show. Thanks again to Christian Kyber for visiting with us today. Great interview. You know, Denise, I'm constantly amazed when we talk to our alumni, some of the great things that they're doing and some of the the activities that they're involved in. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is great. And I tell you, if any of our listeners have any suggestions of people they'd like to hear from or alumni they know of, please email us at alumni@piratealumni.com. So, Paul, last week you gave us the update on how many days till tailgate. Do you know the count today?
It's 21 days until we kick off against Duke. And before we kick off, we want to make sure that all Pirates know that they can come out and get ready for the football season by tailgating with the Alumni Association. We have a great new location outside of Minji's Gate 2, a price that you can't beat, $5 per person. Children under 10 are free. The first game, we're going to have entertainment. What's the name of that band, Denise?
Isn't it David Dyer and the Crooked Smile Band?
Yeah, so if you're in any way intrigued about what the Crooked Smile is, come on out.
Yeah.
And tailgate with the Alumni Association. It's a family-friendly atmosphere. Our first tailgate's going to be sponsored by Charlie's, so we'll have ribs and chicken and all the tailgate foods that you would expect. So come on out September 3rd. We'll kick off the tailgate at 10:30.
Yeah, and be sure to get your tickets ahead of time. I know I've already ordered mine because they are going fast, and we do have a limited count on those. So you can get your tickets by calling 800-ECU-GRAD, or you can visit us online at piratealumni.com. You can actually register online. You can sign up for all the tailgates. $5 a person, you can't beat it. So
absolutely.
Really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So it's about to get real busy here in the next couple of weeks with students moving in.
Yeah, so much for quiet neighborhood streets. You know, we're looking forward to it, though. There's going to be a lot of life, and we're actually helping students move in on Thursday, I think. So a couple of the dorms are opening up.
Who signed us up for that?
Maybe I did. You
okay,
did. We all did.
After this, televisions and microwaves?
Yeah, that's right. But it'll be great. We're looking forward to meeting the new students, the new Pirates, and their families. So.
Well, you know what else I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to our next show. You know, if you folks thought Christian Kyber was great, wait till you hear Velton Ray Bunch, Class of 71. Velton's an Emmy Award-winning musician. He's written the score for the Star Trek Enterprise series that's popular on television. And so Velton Ray, he goes by. Ray is going to be our next guest next week on A Pirate's Life for Me. Until then, Pirate Nation, keep inhaling purple and exhaling gold.